but we must learn how to embrace pressure. One sure thing that would help us to attain excellence and achieve progress is pressure. If you don't want to experience pressure in different areas of your life, you may not attain the progress that you really expect to attain. There is excellence attached to that which you carry inside, but it will never show forth until there is pressure at work. So it's important we understand pressure and its place in progress. Don't hate pressure. You must rather embrace pressure. If you want to see progress, there is a positive amount of pressure that you must avail yourself to. May you embrace whatever form of pressure work brings to you so that you will make progress. I see you making progress.
Now, your word in season.
Just for a short time, let's get into the word of God and be blessed. Hallelujah. So we've been dealing with embracing pressure. And I hope you've been learning some beautiful things. Amen. It's a seasonal message, and I would like you to really take it serious so that you would not be overwhelmed with any pressure that comes upon you, but you'll be able to handle it and overcome it. Amen. Beautiful. So last Sunday we looked at some beautiful things. Today let me just add a little bit onto it. Last Sunday we looked at what pressure will do to you, how that it will stretch you, it will strengthen you, it will sharpen what you have, all right? And ultimately, pressure proves us, okay? So if you are not ready to be proven, that means you are not tested, you are not tried, and therefore you cannot be approved and trusted. So it's important you embrace the necessary pressure at every given season of life. Is that okay? Amen. All right, so let's add on small tonight, then just for about 30, 40, 45 minutes, then we'll be out of here. Okay? All right. So pressure or suffering or hardship in any way is not intended to destroy the believer. The fact is that what the believer carries on the inside is bigger than anything that can come against him from the outside. For we carry within us God himself. So he says, greater is he that is in us. So irrespective of whether it is pressure, hardship, suffering, you should understand that you are immune to it already. Okay? You have divine immunity against anything that will come. Hallelujah. But you see, sometimes we feel weak in our flesh. Sometimes we feel inadequate in our flesh. Sometimes we feel like we are not up to it. But the fact is that no weakness in the flesh should make you doubt the ability of God within you. Okay? Hallelujah. So I pray that we learn how to embrace pressure and become the best of what we must be. Hallelujah. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's start reading from verse 5. I just want us to zoom into the scripture and pick some few things from there. Then we'll continue on Sunday. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's start from verse 5. It says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So Paul the Apostle says, we are your servants for Jesus' sake. Amen. Nowadays, pastors, we feel like we are majesties. No, we are servants. That's the reality. We are servants. Yes. The day a pastor loses that sense of servanthood, many things change. Yes, many things change. Majestic. When a pastor now sees himself as, you know, majesty, your majesty, it becomes a problem. Hallelujah. We are servants. Verse 6. For God, I want you to start paying attention here very well. For God, who commanded the light, he commanded the light. He has the authority to command light out of darkness. Huh? He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He could look at darkness and say, light should come out of darkness. And light came. He says, hath shined. Not the darkness, not the light he commanded to shine out of the darkness. The God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, he hath shined in our hearts. Oh. Not the light he commanded to come out of the darkness. He, the one that commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, he himself has shined in our hearts. That means he is greater than even the light he called, right? Come on. Then he says, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So his intention was that we will see his glory. All right? Then he says, in the face of Jesus Christ. The word face there can also be translated in the presence of Jesus Christ. In the appearance of Jesus Christ. So that means he shined in our hearts when we received Jesus Christ. And this God, he had authority to command light out of darkness. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Whatever darkness it is, it is not just the light he commanded. He himself has shined in your heart by the appearing of Jesus Christ. By the presence of Jesus Christ. Somebody shout, I am unbeatable. I hope you are following the thing. Hallelujah. Then, verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure. What treasure? We have this treasure, the treasure of the God who can command light out of darkness. He is our treasure. We carry this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. We carry this deposit. Treasure there is thesaurus, a deposit, wealth. We carry this in earthen vessels. Huh? In what? Say earthen vessels. Good. So, irrespective of whatever comes against this earthen vessel, there's a treasure in the earthen vessel. I say, when we say earthen vessel, there are two kinds of earthenware that, you know, the one that has been molded by the potter but has not been baked. Then the one that has gone through the kiln, you know the kiln, the oven, let me, layman's term, the oven to be baked. The ones that have been baked, when they break, you can't mend them. But the one that has not been baked, but has been molded by the potter, if any problem happens to it, the potter can adjust it and do something to it. We are not the big rigid ones. We are the ones that are malleable, that can be worked upon. Are you following the thing? Well, when you study the scripture, you see that the Lord refers to his people as clay, and he is the potter. Jeremiah 18, let's read. Glory. Jeremiah 18 from verse 1 to 6. So, it doesn't matter. We may look frail, but we carry within us the treasure. And this treasure is not just an imaginary something. It's God himself, the one that commanded light to shine out of darkness. Chale. He says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, verse 2, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Verse 3, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred. So it spoiled, okay, in the hand of the potter. So he made it. Now take note of something. You know, sometimes we say, but I am in God's hand. How can this happen to me? If God is with me, how can this happen to me? The clay was in the potter's hand. It's still God spoiled. You know, because of our lack of understanding along these lines, sometimes when something happens to believers, we start to ask so many questions. Instead of knowing that the believer, it's a clay in the potter's hand. And no matter what happens, he can mold it again. Yeah. That's why I say I don't beat people when they fall. I don't endorse falling. You know, when somebody falls or maybe fall into some sin or something, look, the person is not supposed to be beaten. The person is supposed to be helped to stand again. Do you understand? That doesn't mean we endorse falling. Who will endorse falling? Eh? But I think, Charlie, people do fall sometimes. I hope you are getting, or you are not getting what I am saying. Yeah, please stop beating people too much when they fall. Help them up. That's what they say, please help people up. Help people. Charlie, people are under pressure too much. Charlie, sometimes help them up. Help them up. Charlie. Hallelujah. Anyway, so let's get back. He says, the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel. As seemed good to the potter to make it. Whatever has been marred in any area of your life, I see the Lord molding it again into another vessel that seemed good to he himself. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And the next verse, he says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. And that is the way we are in God's hands. It doesn't matter how mad we look. He's molding some beautiful things out of our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus. It doesn't matter how life seems to be spinning us. We feel like we are confused sometimes. Sometimes it takes some years. Even before you can see top. Sometimes it feels like, what is happening? It's like when you fix it here, it gets out here. When you block here, look, the Lord is up to something. At the end of the day, your life will be praised to his name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Somebody shout a living amen. Amen. So, you see, the pottery is an ancient art. It's been there for many years. And you see, the moment the potter gets his hands on a clay, it is he that knows what he wants to mold out of the clay. I pray that you be flexible for God to mold you. Be flexible. Put your hand on your chest and say, Lord, I am clay in your hand. Mold me into what you want me to be. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are not that hard clay baked that cannot be remolded. We are that malleable clay that can be remolded. All right? Hallelujah. And we are even young. Everybody here is young. You are young. My goodness. Too much hope for the future. Glory. Isaiah 64 verse 7 to 8. How the Lord sees his people as clay in the hands of the potter. He says, "And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirred up himself to take a hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities." Then verse 8 is what I want you to pay attention. "But now, Lord, thou art our Father." We know we have wronged you, but thou art our Father. "We are the clay, and thou art our potter. And we all are the work of thy hand." Hallelujah. Okay, now because of time, let's go back to the 2 Corinthians where we're reading. Glory. So 2 Corinthians. So he says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." Then he says, "That the excellency of the power." So what we carry within us is dunamis. We carry power. Not just the power of the one who called light out of darkness, but he himself. I hope you are getting the point. He says that the excellency. Now, the word excellency, when we say excellency, it means a moving forward beyond others. Are you getting the point? So that means when there are 10 people, you would move forward than all of them. It says so that the excellency of this power we carry may be of God and not of us. That means God wants us to depend on him always. Are you getting it? This power is not of us, but of God. Does it make sense? Hallelujah. So you can be thrown beyond others, irrespective of how weak you feel in this earthen, so that you cannot boast that your flesh accomplished it. Does it make sense? Hallelujah. But then you will always boast of knowing the Lord and his power that is within you. Somebody shout amen. Amen. There are many things that would bring a lot of pressure. If you don't want pressure, you should die. Die. You can just die tomorrow if you don't want pressure. Every area of life has pressure. Pressure without, pressure within. And we must know the power that resides within us so that there is nothing that can crush you. And you must be in that. Look, that knowledge must be so strong so that nothing. So when you read down, Paul now starts explaining the pressure that comes. So go, verse 8. I hope you are here. Right after talking about the earthen vessel and the excellency of the power in us, he now speaks about pressure. And the pressure, when it comes mainly to attack this weak vessel. Are you here at all? But he says, the excellency of the power that can overcome all is within. Then look at it. He says, we are troubled on every side. Yet not what? Stress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Go. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not. You know, Paul the Apostle, most of the time, would use the games that the people in those days, you know, they had a lot of games, periodic games which has actually metamorphosed into becoming these Olympics that they go to, you see. And these games, they went through several games. And most of his exegesis or his teachings, he would use example of people that go through the games, the contests. Okay? So these phrases, when you study, you realize that these phrases are phrases that he picked from the games. Huh? So they are actually games terms. Go back to the verse 8, please. Three of them are for wrestling, and one is for racing. So it is in wrestling they say we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Have you seen wrestling before? When there's a big opponent, and you are in a wrestling game, a wrestling match, and that big opponent wants to, you see, he's everywhere. On every side. Oh my God. If you watch a wrestling game, you see, they go through a lot. A large opponent. Look at somebody, it's a large opponent, a large. Wrestling. So, there's so much on every side. But you see, they press and press and press. But what is within can never get tired. Because God himself is within. Is somebody listening at all? So he says, it doesn't matter how troubled this wrestler who knows what he's carrying within is bigger than any large opponent. So irrespective of how this big wrestler troubles him on every side, he will not be distressed. That means he would not lose his breath. He will still be alive. Look at someone say, nothing can stop you. Nothing. It doesn't matter the pressure that comes. It will make you better. It cannot destroy you. Is somebody listening at all? The next verse. He said, no, this same one. He says, we are perplexed. Perplexed. This same, you know, perplexity has to do with this wrestler is strangling you. I don't know if you've watched these wrestling games where they hold their neck and lifts, and it's like at that point, it doesn't look like there's it doesn't look like there's any hope. It doesn't look like there's any hope. Despair means we felt like dying. But have you ever watched the, by the time you realize the referee will come to, people of God, it doesn't matter how it feels like life is strangling you and several things are strangling you. You won't die. Hallelujah. The third one, he says, verse 9, please. Look, anyway, I'll say that. Persecuted. We are pursued. Persecuted there is actually dioko. Pressure. That feels, sometimes you feel like everything is not working for you. Sometimes it feels like everybody has abandoned you. It's only you. Only you. But it says, look, we are not forsaking. For we carry this treasure, this deposit, this wealth in earthen vessels. Our flesh may look like it is so beating and tired. But by the time you realize we are rejuvenated to keep running, I see you moving forward. Nothing can stop you in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, you know, when the 100 meters sprinter gets set to go. You see, there's so much pressure. I saw this video. The guy, very fast, when he finished, when he crossed the finishing line, he won. His I don't know what they call it, spikes. His spikes caught fire. The pressure was so much. The record, the guy said, the spikes caught fire. He had to remove them fast and they put fire extinguisher on it. He ran like somebody's pursuing him. I told you last Sunday, if you don't like pressure, I said there are some people whose your failure is their success. You better don't fail. And all they are wishing for you is to fail. They are watching you like that. They are waiting to hear bad news. You say, hey, the bad news they hear is the jubilation of their victory. You say, now he's falling, we can go. You will not fall. You will not fall. You will not fall. They will wait. They will wait till eternity. They will wait till eternity. Amen. We will call them team waiting eternity. They will. They will wait because you will not fall. Amen. Yeah. They are waiting to hear that the business didn't work. They are waiting to hear he's gone bankrupt. They are waiting to hear he couldn't go to school. They are waiting to hear he didn't pass the exam. You will pass. You will pass. Amen. You'll do well. Amen. Then he says, cast down. When the heavy wrestler picks. You know, the picture Paul was painting was wrestling and racing. When the wrestler picks this one that is lightweight and hits him, crash, you see, cast down. But not what? Destroyed. It doesn't matter what wants to beat you down. You will not be destroyed. I tell you, you will not be destroyed. Trust in the power that is resident within you. You are coming out successful in the name of the Lord Jesus. Somebody shout a living amen. Amen. Now, just for 5 minutes, there are precious that are without and there are precious that are within. You must master them all. In the same 2 Corinthians, let's read chapter 5. Thank you, Jesus. Are you following it? Glory to God. 2 Corinthians. Okay, chapter 7, verse 5, please. Chapter 7, verse 5. Chapter 7, verse 5. Are you there? Okay. Now he says, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. Our flesh had no rest. Our flesh had no rest. Ask somebody from me, how many hours have you rested today? Our flesh had no rest. But we were troubled on every side. Then he says, without were fightings, within were fears. You know, sometimes when you say you are afraid, it looks like you are not talking faith. It's like you are faithless. Sometimes you look like, Without were fightings. Can you give it to us in NIV, a newer version? Let's read this. Just a little emphasis, then we are done for tonight. For when we came into Macedonia, the body of ours had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. So Paul didn't have faith, eh? Paul didn't have faith. Conflicts outside, fierce within. There are things that bring you a lot of pressure from the outside. Let me just mention a few. I may not be able to mention all, but let me mention a few. You see, for example, in your workspace, let's say people who are above you may have demands of you. And it can be very, very, very stressful. There are targets they set, and sometimes you think, were they thinking? Were they thinking before they set those targets? And it's like you are very angry. Listen, none of those things are meant to destroy you. They are supposed to make you better. So embrace the pressure it brings. That's external. I hope you are getting the point. Even in church, I can put pressure on you. Are you getting that point? Yes. Sometimes even your parents. Sometimes you realize that there's financial pressure. Demands. This one is taking. You look. It's like, Charlie, your breath is finished. That's external. So those above you, things that expect so much of you can bring pressure. Then sometimes those that depend on you, like parenting. When you see, many fathers and mothers give up. Say, they tell their children, my bro, the baby. Is it because the pressure? Huh. You see, when you've not been pregnant before, you may not understand what I'm saying. Or if you don't have any children, children can be very demanding. I saw my little daughter had a dress. She wore a dress. Definitely, she didn't know she was wearing it, but they put a dress on her. In the dress was, I can be a little bit demanding. I said, hey. Is that what you are saying? Parenting can be very demanding. Parents, don't give up. That pressure won't destroy you. Yeah, sometimes even buying baby food, it's not easy. It's a little demanding. Sometimes husbands will not help their wives. And the pressure multiplies. Husbands, are we here? We are here. I tell you, sometimes you realize that the baby is crying and wants your attention. Your wife is very tired, and you too, you remove your eyes. Then you cover yourself with a cloth. And you behave like you've not heard the cry. Hey! We are tired. Pressure. But you see, hey, if you don't take advantage of that pressure, a day is coming, you can't do those things anymore. You can't do those things anymore. We have several ages in our home. Yes. Every age and the pressure they bring. Every age. I tell you. There's the age you are carrying it. There's the age when they can walk. Now you have to talk about their socks. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, every stage of parenting brings pressure. So if you're a parent, that pressure won't stop. So what do? Embrace it. Then make up your mind. You will not let that pressure make you tired and exhausted. And now you don't want to carry on with your responsibility anymore. Because that child is your responsibility. Those children are your responsibility. If even as a baby, you are tired, when they get to university, how do you pay fees? Pressure. Am I communicating at all? Sometimes pressures from without. You see, when you're at a certain level, nobody envies you. When you change levels, get ready for envy. The fact is that if you are not envied, you are not doing something exceptional. The day you start doing exceptional things, envy, jealousy is part of the human institution.
You are all trekking. Why should he be envious? Buy a car and see. And I was telling you, the fruits that you bear, huh? They are in direct proportion to the pressure you are willing to embrace. Never forget this. The reason why you don't have a degree is probably because you are not ready to embrace the pressure degree brings. I mean degree. Bachelor of anything. Bachelor of anything. You are tired in your mind. You say, I won't study again. Hey, I'm from school. More pressure on the doors. I'm from school. The reason why probably you don't have a master's degree is because you've not chosen to embrace the pressure that masters bring. Every level of success has its own pressure. And when you get promoted and you move forward, the jealousy and the envy. That's why I advise you. Do well to hide your success until it has at a certain level that nobody can harm it. What do I say? I'm saying that when you're able to buy something, hide it small. I hope you are getting what I am trying to say. Yes, social media generation. Are you following it? Yeah. Yeah. I finish. And there are fears within. The fear of the thing not working. What if I don't finish? What if it doesn't come on? What will people say? You see, fears within. Listen, the fears within also bring pressure. How do you overcome that? Trust in the excellency of the power that is in this earthen vessel. That if you can trust in the Lord, you win. You win. You win. You win. I prophesy over your life. If you are struggling with some fears within, may you overcome those fears. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You may consider yourself as frail. You may consider yourself as weak. You may consider yourself as you don't see yourself powerful enough to accomplish something. But you do not trust in the frailness of your system. But you trust in the excellency of the power of God within you. The one that called light out of darkness. He is the one that shines in your heart. If anything wants to make you feel like it cannot work, trust in the excellency of the power that is within you. That the Lord is more than able to bring it to pass. For that is what the apostle meant when he says, for God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think or imagine, according to the power that worketh within us. I pray that you become more conscious of what you carry. I pray that when you look around and it look like the flesh is giving you negative feedback, you would zoom into you and see the excellency of the power that can push you beyond. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot be crushed. Remember, it doesn't matter the troubles that come to you on every side. You cannot be crushed. The Lord is with you. No pressure can bring you down. It will cause you to rise. It will cause you to rise. And again, I pray this prayer for you. That as the rocket goes up, and at a point, things that are not required, the pressure moves them away from it so that it can move to the next level. Whoever is around you, whatever is around you, that feels like they are shielding you from any form of pressure that will not make you go to your next level, those that are envious and jealous but hiding and pretending as friends, may the Lord cause the necessary pressure to push them off in the name of the Lord Jesus. And even in this season, as the Lord has instructed us to go through this teaching sessions, whatever grace you require to go through any form of pressure, let that grace continue to rest on you. Amen. New doors, new doors, new doors, opportunities that are bringing you great things. May you have that required grace to embrace the required pressure. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Those of you that are parents, I pray for grace to handle the pressure of parentage. Parentage, the pressure of parentage. May the Lord grant you the grace. Grace, 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 grace. In the name of Jesus. Those in business, may the Lord give you grace to handle the pressure in business. Those who own your own business, you own your own firms, you do your own trading. Oh, sometimes pressure comes because it looks like people will not sign you, people will not come and buy, people will not patronize. May the Lord give you the necessary grace to handle the pressure that comes from entrepreneurship in the name of the Lord Jesus. Grace to handle entrepreneurial pressure in the name of the Lord Jesus. Those of you that work for people, that they demand so much from you, I pray for the grace of God that would help you to carry that pressure, embrace the pressure of the demands they make on you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. The demands from parents, the demands from those that depend on us, the demands that sometimes make us want to give up, our grace to handle those pressures. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, you are chosen. And that which is within you, nothing can crush. Amen. You are blessed. 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 May you be so conscious of the excellency of the power of this treasure that you carry in this your earthen vessel. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed tonight? Amen. God bless you for listening to today's message. If you want to give your heart to Christ, just say this short confession after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died, and on the third day, you were raised back to life, and you are alive. I confess with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord. You are the Lord of my life. Even from this day forth, precious Spirit of God, help me to live for the Lord all the days of my life. God bless you. If you said that confession, you are a child of God. Make sure you are planted in a church that will raise you in the Word of God so that you become a tree of righteousness that will bear fruit to the glory of God. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with my Pastor Christian. We believe you have been refreshed by The Shepherd's Stream for a glorious living in Christ Jesus. You can get the messages of the man of God, Pastor Christian, on Facebook, Telegram, YouTube, podcast, or Podcast Addict, all at My Pastor Christian or Shepherd's Stream Church. You may also call our helpline for the messages and the books of Pastor Christian, and for pure pastoral counsel and any other inquiry on 0540-953-017, 0540-953-017. We also have the pleasure to invite you to join us in our glorious celebration services this and every Sunday at the Fresh Oil Assembly, Kumasi City Church, KCC, Edum, right opposite the GRA building, behind the Ejaba building. My Pastor Christian also comes your way with Shepherd's Stream prayer session this and every Friday at 6:30 p.m. at the church premise at Edum. You can also join in the prayer session via Facebook Live at My Pastor Christian. Come, pray, and experience the glory of God. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.